Blog Talk Radio.
We own this country. We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Welcome to the Culture Vigilante Hour on Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're hailing from Missouri, although this is internet radio. You can get us anywhere. I am very happy to be here tonight with Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots. Welcome, Cindy.
Hello, Lisa. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you, and I'm so glad not to be here alone today. With all the stuff that was going on today, I'm about ready to crawl into my cave and just pull a rock in behind me and stay there forever. I'm just kind of dumbstruck. First of all, where should we start? Let's start on a national level, and we'll bring it home a little closer to home. Okay, today, I put on Facebook and all my social media marketing pages today, Eric Holder and the president have decided that it is okay for the president to attack Americans on American soil with drones. What do you think about that?
Stunning. I wish I could say I didn't see it coming, but I did, and I think a lot of people did. What do you say to that? There is no part of our Constitution that this administration and his cronies are not willing to just burn right in front of the American people. And what is really stunning to me is that the majority of the people aren't paying attention. They're not reacting to it. And they should be on their way to Washington right now with pitchforks.
Is it my imagination? I don't think it's my imagination, but tell me. Is it my imagination or is this just going at lightning fast speed? Okay, today we have drones. You know, you can walk out of your house and be attacked by a drone now, and no due process, no nothing. Americans are not safe anymore, even from their own government. They've been buying armored tanks, mine sweeping tanks, I think, on American soil. They've got mine sweeping tanks. They've got enough rounds of ammo to execute the Iraq war for 20 to 30 years. You know, folks, this has never been done before in American history as far as I know. I could be wrong about that. I didn't go do the research on it, but, this tells me everything about, the government is getting, they're trying to disarm us left and right. We have gun legislation in every state. You know, the federal government's trying to outlaw firearms of any kind. I just don't know why this isn't blatantly obvious to the entire world, the entire country, that, the government is trying to disarm us.
Right. I don't know why it isn't either, Lisa, and you're right. I have to agree with you. I keep telling people when I'm talking to them that I feel like every day I get up and somebody starts firing a Gatling gun and just the bullets are just whizzing by. There are so many things happening every day, and every single one of them is an absolute threat to what little liberty we have left.
Wow.
And it's really scary. And, it's stunning that people are not engaging on this. And I know that a lot of the patriots that are engaged are feeling very spread really thin, trying to, it's like standing in front of a dam and you see little leaks starting and you've got a package of bubble gum and you keep trying to chew it fast enough and get it stuck into those holes to stop what's happening. And, I just have this sense, and I hate to sound fatalistic, but it's like I'm standing there looking at this, and I'm plugging holes as fast as I can, and I'm just waiting for the dam to crack and burst. And
yeah, I mean, I don't know that we can stop, and I think it's just going to get to the point where it's just going to all have to collapse. I mean, the economy is collapsing.
Right.
Wait, you know, and I'm wait till Obamacare kicks in 2014. People have no idea that. I mean, it's going to cost them $20,000 to $30,000 a household in extra income. You know, that people. I don't think people have that much disposable income to pay for their medical insurance.
No, and you know, color me. I don't know what. But doesn't it frustrate you, Lisa, that we sit here every day and we watch nonsensical legislation coming up in our state, in our nation's capital, that has nothing to do with anything except to make politicians look good when they should be spending their time? Why are we having to stand down here with bubble gum to plug the holes in the dam when they have the pens to be far more effective in stopping what's happening, and they're refusing to use them on all levels of government? And that, to me, is very frustrating because they are the ones that we elected to get the job done and to prevent this kind of catastrophe, and they're not doing their job.
They're not doing their job.
They're not doing their job. That frustrates me more than anything else.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest on a little later from, I think, Montana. And I was talking to him earlier in the week when we were setting up the interviews and stuff. And, I mean, I think the Montana legislature meets every other year, which is exactly what we need here in Missouri. They've got too much going on. Oh, if they can file 2,000 bills a year on average, you know, that is just absolutely ridiculous. That kind of activity can be going on. They need to be here every other year. And okay, so let's go into what's going on here in Missouri. Okay, I have never in my life seen so much chaos. I mean, I haven't been watching the legislature that many years, but it just gets worse every year. And this year, it is out of control. We have a Republican supermajority. Why do we have so many out of control liberty stealing bills going through the legislature, even being filed? Why are they even being filed when we have a Republican supermajority here in Missouri, House and Senate? Okay,
that's a really good question. That's a really good question, Lisa, and it begs an answer, and we're not getting one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so, it is being asked.
Well, yeah, okay, so here we go. Okay, so I don't even know where to start with this. Okay, well, first let's back up a little bit. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I did get some good news. There's a couple of good things. 513, the parental rights bill, is on the move. I got an update from Jill Johnson earlier this week. So the parental rights bill has been heard, and I think it's been voted out of committee, and it's on the move. So maybe something positive will come out of this. I just got an email seconds before we went on the air, and I'll post this on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org so that you can fill out a witness form. There's a hearing tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. It's a Senate hearing. This bill is on prescription drug monitoring. So there's evidently a hearing, prescription drug monitoring with reporting to the feds on the database. Everything's a darn database. We've got databases everywhere. Let me see if I can read this to you real quick. Just like the RFID chip program got. Okay, we're going to talk about the Department of Revenue here thing in a few minutes with Peter Kinder, but evidently they want to put something out there tomorrow morning, 8:30 in the Senate lounge, witnesses to testify against the intrusion on our privacy being reported to third parties and to the feds on nerve pills. Considered, I haven't read the bill. I just got this before we went on the air. Firearms, everything. Okay, so folks, I will put the details of this on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. I will also put it on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Facebook page. You can download the link and sign a witness form and read the bill. Of course, you want to read the bill. And we'll see if we can't get that information out there for you so that you can throw some support. Evidently, I mean, everything is just coming under the radar very quickly. We're being shot at from 97 different directions. It's absolutely out of control with the way this stuff is flying at us left and right. A couple of other bills that we wanted to kind of talk about today. We're going to talk to Patrick Ishmael of the Show Me Institute. Remember China Hub? Remember, was it last year or year before with the China Hub? Did we have a special session?
Last year. It wasn't last year. It was the year before.
Year before.
2011 fall. of 2011. It seems like just last year.
Okay.
We were worried that they would bring it up again this year, but they didn't.
Well, it is coming again
this year. Yeah, in this legislative session, yes.
Yeah, it's broken up in a couple different bills, sponsored by Republicans, again.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. So anyway, Patrick Ishmael will come on, kind of help us to identify some things here and there and distinguish between what's China Hub and what's not, but it's all tax credit stuff. So, folks, we're dealing with tax credits again. Peter Kinder's going to be on with us hopefully here in a few minutes. He's going to talk to us about the Department of Revenue issue. They filed evidently a lawsuit. A county in the Boot Heel of Missouri has filed a lawsuit against the Department of Revenue. They're trying to monitor your gun ownership through the Department of Revenue when you renew your driver's license. It seems that some special machinery from Homeland Security is tracking your gun ownership when you renew your driver's license. So hopefully Peter Kinder will come on very soon and give us an update on that.
That same machinery is also being used to send information that gets scanned into the system, like your birth certificate and all sorts of things. And that information is also being shared with the federal government and third parties.
Yep, that's true. Okay, hold on. I've got your Kinder on the other line, so let's take a break. Hi, Lieutenant Governor.
Hi.
I need you to call another number.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Minute. Many gun rights activists feel there is an all-out assault on the Second Amendment by the Obama administration with plans to reintroduce an assault weapons ban, banning magazines larger than 10 rounds, and limiting ammunition. What many gun and women rights activists are overlooking is discrimination and the all-out assault on women who own firearms for personal protection and that of protecting their loved ones. 2.5 million good Americans use guns to protect themselves, their families, and their livelihoods every year. Yes, Senator Feinstein, women do own firearms, and according to the 2011 Gallup poll, women reported household gun ownership is 43%, the highest ever recorded by Gallup. Gail Trotter, a fellow at the Conservative Independent Women's Forum, told the Senate Judiciary Committee that curbing access to guns would create an undue burden for women who would choose to defend themselves from violence. Research shows that states with concealed handgun laws have 25% fewer rapes than states that restrict or forbid women from carrying concealed handguns. Yes, there is a war on women, and it's coming from the likes of Feinstein and Obama, who have armed guards protecting them, but while trying to leave women defenseless. This has been the Old Patriot.
I've got a feeling that the night is high.
Life so dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and this is Lisa Payne Nager. I'm joined here this evening by Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots, and the Lieutenant Governor of the State of Missouri has joined us. Like I said earlier today, a couple days ago, the Lieutenant Governor filed a lawsuit in Missouri. Evidently, there's some, you know, creeping. To back up to first to say, Missouri has had just a boatload of legislation filed this year at attacking your Second Amendment rights. And it seems that we have found out through the Lieutenant Governor that the Department of Homeland Security is creeping into Department of Revenue offices all over the state, specifically in the Boot Heel that we know of now, trying to do a backdoor end run around your Second Amendment rights and track your gun ownership. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, thank you for being with us tonight.
back on, Lisa. It's a pleasure.
Oh, well, Lieutenant Governor, I'm just going to kind of give you the floor. Why don't you give us a little background about how you found out about this and exactly what this is? I know this has to do with the ID, the Real ID Act, and give us a little background on what that is and how this is being, how this is, our rights are being infringed here.
Well, first of all, I'll describe how I got into this last week and what we learned about what was going on at one fee office in the Boot Heel. But first, I want all your listeners to know, as we suspected at the outset, we have now confirmed since last week, this is not particular or isolated to the Boot Heel or to Stoddard County where we found it. It is all over the state. All the if every fee office has not been visited yet, if every Department of Revenue office has not been visited yet, it's only because they haven't gotten around to them, because they are inserting this Department of Homeland Security invasion of privacy project in all across the state. Now, here's what we learned. At the fee office in Stoddard and Dexter County, in Dexter, Missouri, and the Boot Heel, Stoddard County, and the largest community there is Dexter. The fee agent said that folks from the Department of Department of Revenue showed up installing new hardware and computer software. When she asked what this was about, said, "Oh, this is so we can transmit the individual data to a third-party vendor, a private vendor out of the state." Turns out it's the Morpho Trust is the name of the vendor in Atlanta, Georgia, and also to the Department of Homeland Security. She said, "You mean you're transmitting individual data?" They said, "Yes."
They admitted to it?
We are in the process of establishing proof. We have some proof already. We're amassing more proof that it was a Department of Homeland Security grant that funded this equipment.
Unfunded mandates.
Well, it's a grant from the Department of Homeland Security, the feds, to the Missouri Department of Revenue to permit the installation of this equipment, which I guess this hardware, right, and the software, which has some expense attached to it, in 114 counties in the city of St. Louis across the state. And so we arranged... by the way, you said earlier I filed suit. I did not file suit. I am not a party to this civil legal action. But I am a strategist and one who encouraged it and helped to publicize it. We found a complaining citizen, and I want your listeners to get it in their minds and put it out on their blocks, that we're asking for more complaining citizens to step forward and go through this process. So the complaining citizen was just an ordinary Missourian who happens to be a right to carry concealed weapon permit holder. He had qualified for all the requirements for CCW. He had his permit, and they asked him to come in and scan that data as part of his, as part of just the routine of re-upping his driver's license. And he said, "Do you mean you want to scan my right to carry concealed permit data?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Then I object." Well, at that point, the process stopped for his re-upping his driver's license. He walked out of there and went over to the prosecuting attorney's office. Bright young prosecutor in Stoddard County, probably the first Republican ever elected there in 2010, named Russ Oliver. And all credit to Russ Oliver, who has done the legal work on this.
Okay. And
he researched the statutes and determined that two separate Missouri statutes are being violated in this process. And he said, our plaintiff is Eric Griffin, who resides in Stoddard County. He said, "Mr. Griffin, will you sign this complaint?" He said, "I sure will." So Mr. Griffin signed the complaint saying, "My rights are being infringed by the illegal sharing of this data, and that complaint is the basis of the lawsuit that I'll mention. Now, before I get to the to exactly what the suit is, let me cite you to the two statutes. 32.091, Revised Statute of Missouri, 32.091, subsection 7. This sharing of data violates that section. It is even clearer, however, that it violates another section. And I hope I get this right. 302.183.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that from memory, but I'm pretty certain that's it. 302.183.
Okay.
Were both passed after the passage of the Real ID law in Washington in 2005 to essentially say that the General Assembly in Missouri, the elected representatives of the people, got the law passed and signed into law, that we will not participate in Real ID. This is an effort by the Nixon administration and the Department of Revenue and Janet Napolitano's department in Washington, D.C., to use Real ID to circumvent Missouri law and to use all the revenue fee agents in each county to do this. Now, I spoke last night in Springfield to close to 1,000 people at the Firearms Freedom Symposium that was convened by the Ozark Property Rights Council. A wonderful event, by the way. I don't know mm-hmm. if anybody on this call was there.
No.
It was a wonderful event. They had Sheriff Mack in from Arizona. They had Larry Pratt, the Gun Owners of America. And I told that crowd what I'm telling you all, we are looking for others to go in and file this lawsuit. So here's what Attorney Russ Oliver did with that. He first contemplated the filing of criminal charges and decided not to, because it would be perceived as being too heavy-handed. I think he made the right decision in not filing a criminal charge against the fee agent. Okay? The fee agent is friendly to our cause here. The fee agent is not the bad actor. It's the Department of Revenue. Okay? The decision was made to file in Stoddard County and therefore to sue the fee agent and not the Department of Revenue. Now, we will eventually get to the Department of Revenue. But the legal action is very simple. It was an action for a declaratory judgment, that is to request from the judge that as a matter of law, this has violated Missouri statutes and is violating Missouri statutes, that the rights of individual Missourians are being infringed, and further, that asking the judge for a temporary restraining order to restrain the fee agent against any further collection and transmission of this data. That was filed at the start of business Monday morning. By 4:30, approximately 4:30 that afternoon, 2 days ago, Judge Rob Mayer signed the temporary restraining order against the fee agent, and that is, he gave us the relief we were looking for. Mm-hmm. We won. We were victorious in round one. That was very heartening. And this was a piece of statewide news, and the attorney who did it, Russ Oliver, was on his way to Jefferson City for a three-day meeting of prosecutors anyway. So he wanted to join me at a press conference we had mid-afternoon on Monday at the Capitol. It was attended by a number of state representatives. And then we had a briefing for state representatives and at least one senator, Senator Ed Emery, on Monday evening, at which this was discussed at great length. Carrie Messer of the Missouri Family Network is very involved in this. Ron Calzone and his group, Ron mm-hmm. was there. And again, I spoke to that group I told you about last night, the Firearms Freedom Symposium mm-hmm. of the Ozark Property Rights Council in Springfield, and told about 1,000 of them. And Color 10 TV of Springfield interviewed me on this subject. And they played it on their 10 o'clock news and again this morning on their early show. So we got a lot of publicity yesterday in Southwest Missouri. I'm going on radio talk shows around the state to talk this up. And we have definitely gotten the attention and lit up the email traffic to state senators and state representatives. I believe one senator from Southeast Missouri is reporting that in 2 days he's received 500 emails. Now, I'm telling you, usually you might get a dozen in that time.
Right.
This is lighting up the grassroots. It's a clear attempt, we believe, for Department of Homeland Security to keep tabs on us all, for Janet Napolitano to move us toward a nationwide system of gun registration.
My God.
And they're starting with CCW permits. And I'm asked if other states have reported this, and everywhere I turn, it appears that we're the first to sound the alarm, and I hope the first to light the prairie fire here in the great state of Missouri, just as we were in Obamacare.
Okay, Lieutenant Governor, so many questions. You've answered quite a few. But, okay, so first of all, this was done outside the purview of the legislature. I mean, is this something that the governor
yes.
would have had to have authorized?
Yeah, we believe it is. And the governor, I called on the governor yesterday to meet with me. I wrote him a letter and released it to the press, to the media, and put it on Twitter and Facebook. I simply asked for a meeting at which he would answer questions. His spokesman, as I knew they would, flatly turned it down without even considering it. No, there will be no meeting. Now, I'm going to follow that up with other lawmakers, like the president pro tem and the speaker of the House, asking him for a meeting that includes me. And we'll see if he wants to continue the stonewall. In the meantime, Lisa, the director of the Department of Revenue has already been before the House Budget Committee and the Senate Appropriations Committee, but he has another invitation he cannot turn down, and he is being called back before both committees next week in a public hearing. And some of you may want to be at one or the other of those.
Okay.
The House hearing is Monday, and the Senate hearing is Tuesday. I believe, and I will correct this with you if I'm wrong, but I just heard before I left the office today, the House hearing with the Director of Revenue, where he will be specifically asked many, many questions on this, is supposed to be 1 p.m. on Monday, the House Budget Committee.
Okay.
The Senate Appropriations Committee will have him before the committee on Tuesday. We think they may be caught in some lies. We don't know yet. That's why you want to call him before there. But I guarantee you, these department directors do not go to the bathroom without approval from the governor's office. They can issue no public statements. They could never have accepted this grant without the governor knowing about it and approving it. And so one of our requests will be a Freedom of Information Act request to the governor for all emails and communications between his office, anyone in his office, and the Department of Revenue pertaining to this subject.
This is a huge heads should roll situation, because isn't this an impeachable offense?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what we have yet. Obviously,
okay.
Everything's on the table. But we're in the early stages. Look, all I did 48 hours ago, what I did was kick over the beehive.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And not only the bees, but the really nasty hornets and wasps all came flying out from under it. And the Nixon administration is in panic mode. They're trying to hide. That's what he does best.
Mm-hmm.
Is just hide and try to see where an issue's going and then get out in front of it and take credit for success that he had nothing to do with. Well, this time they set this in motion, and we'll see where it leads. But I guarantee you, now, Representative Todd Richardson filed a bill in the last 24 hours in the House. Todd Richardson is a bright, bright young man, probably will be Speaker of the House in a few years. From Poplar Bluff, he's in his second term, and Todd filed a bill, I believe it's House Bill 487, but don't hold me to that, that would stop the Department of Revenue from collecting or sharing this data. Just make it, it would make it even clearer than it is now in the law. So,
yeah,
and if somebody told me he filed that bill with 60 co-sponsors.
Good for him. But I mean, is there that actual need for a bill like that? Don't we already have protection?
Lisa, I better call you back. You're breaking up badly on me.
Okay, I'm having problems with Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry, it's not you, it's me. Okay, let's have the governor. Is there anything that we can do, citizens? Is there anything that we can do to stop this problem?
Yeah, now you, it looks like you stopped breaking up, sounds like. Help me find other plaintiffs, other Eric Griffins, who will go in to re-up their driver's license and sign a complaint.
Okay. And these House hearings, would that be helpful? Contact our representatives in Jefferson City.
Lisa, you're breaking up very badly. Can I call you back?
It's not yet.
I think it's a block talk issue. Can you hear me better?
Lieutenant Governor, this is Cindy. I'm sitting in with Lisa. Can you hear me better?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. What she was asking is, who do people need to contact if they want to join the complaint against the DOR?
Well, we don't have that really set up yet.
Okay.
You can contact my office, a guy named Brian in my office. And you can find my email. And my toll-free number is 1-800-699-2377.
Okay.
Sounds
great. Brian, we will take the names of people who want to file. We already think we have a few good plaintiffs. We'd love to find female plaintiffs, female complainers, who say their rights have been infringed, and we would love to take that to court. Now, we will have to match these folks up with willing attorneys. Russ Oliver is paid by the public as the prosecuting attorney of Stoddard County. He can't do these all over the state when he's way down in the boot heel. You know?
Can we get prosecuting attorneys from other counties to join in on the lawsuit?
If you know a good conservative prosecuting attorney, approach that person and tell them what Russ Oliver has done. Now, it does not have to be a prosecutor because we're talking about filing a civil matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It can be any licensed attorney who knows what he or she is doing. Now, Dana Lash has written on this on her blog. So there's information there. The Blaze, Glenn Beck's place, his website had an article about this yesterday. The American Thinker blog had a piece up today that linked to Dana Lash's blog piece from Monday. We think we're going to get some national attention on this. Mark Levin has shown an interest, by the way, there is a hearing on our case in Stoddard County Court next Tuesday, the 12th, the same day as the Senate appropriations hearing, and that will tell the tale a lot more on where we're going and how fast with this lawsuit.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we'd like to have a dozen others like it filed, and I talked to Bob Parker last night, and I said, Bob, get me somebody from Texas County. And I talked to some people from Shannon County. I said, get me something going in Shannon County. Let's have a dozen of these.
Okay,
all right.
We do our very best to spread the word. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, for all that great information. I hope you'll come back and keep us updated on this as this progresses. We'll do our best to spread the word and to contact our representatives and our legislators in Jefferson City to keep this fire lit. Also,
very
contact
good.
The Lieutenant Governor's office for more information.
I was proud to get the ball rolling. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, and check back with us again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, Cindy, my God.
Oh, well, that was very informative and a little bit frightening. And I'm really glad that we have someone who was willing to jump on this in Stoddard County, and that our lieutenant governor picked up the ball and helped him run with it.
Yeah,
hopefully
absolutely.
Some of the listeners that you have will, you know, start. We just need to get the word out, folks. But
yeah, with all the work that's going on this case, with the lieutenant governor trying to push it through, you know, in various counties. I mean, that there's no media attention on this. We have Dana's blog and a couple of other blogs, and I'm sure the Gateway Pundit or somebody is going to pick it up soon. But this, I mean, this is nuts. This should have been national news on Monday afternoon. You know, when the lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri, you know, one of the states in the union, is getting behind a lawsuit, you know, that's very much invading your Second Amendment rights here, your privacy rights as an American citizen, you know, possibly being pushed by the governor of the state. This should be national news. This is nuts.
Right.
Okay, so we're gonna look up. Yeah, we're gonna look up this HB 487. We're gonna try to put some of this information together here for all you folks, and we'll link it up on Missouri Grassroots Radio on our Missouri Grassroots Coalition's website and the Facebook page, and we'll just do some research, and the media is not going to do it for us, so we'll try to put that information out there and try to get that going. This is nuts. And evidently it's already all over the state. It's not just in one county, as the lieutenant governor told us. So, you know, you could be unwittingly renewing your driver's license and having your Second Amendment rights being encroached on without even knowing about it. So, okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I think we have Patrick Ishmael on the line. We're going to talk about tax credits. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much. Okay, this board is not working. Cindy, is your board working?
I'm trying. No, nothing's working.
Okay, we're totally frozen up here. So let me see if we can even get Patrick Ishmael on the line here. Go ahead and hit refresh on your board and see if that helps. Let it go through. We've just had some real technical difficulties today here with Blog Talk Radio. I hope we're still on the air. Sorry about the technical difficulties again tonight, folks. We've Blog Talk Radio had some issues. Oops. Servers have experienced an error that prevents us from showing what your page. Don't worry. They'll be notified and they'll fix. Well, that's not helping me.
Mm-mm. I don't know what's going on, Lisa.
Okay. Oh. Let's see here. Okay, I'm going to try to get back into the studio. Oh, that's not good. Well, assuming we're still on the air, and I'm not sure that we are, let's talk about a couple of things about dealing with our legislature. There was a blog put out today by someone who's well known in conservative circles and grassroots circles. And the message of his blog post was that some inaccurate information had been put out about one of the grassroots issues. And and sometimes inaccurate information, it's not always pinpoint accurate. But the gist of the blog post was that, you know, you should not contact your legislature unless you're spot on with your information, you know, because if they hurt your credibility. And that's something that's always been kind of a sore spot with me, because, you know, as a homeschooler, we've had that kind of information go on before. You should never, folks, be worried about contacting your legislature and worried about your credibility. You, as a voter and a citizen and a taxpayer of the state of Missouri, should always, always be welcome to contact your legislators. You should never have to worry about contacting your legislators and worry about your reception. They should always be open to receiving you. And we've had that problem before when we've tried to discuss legislation with folks. you know, we've been told how we need to approach legislators and how we need to acquiesce and, you know, how we need to discuss things with them and in the manner and demeanor with which we need to talk to them. And it places your legislatures on an entirely different stratosphere, a different level. They cease to become public servants. And we've had this rant here on Culture Vigilante before where there is absolutely under no circumstances should you be worried about how to contact your legislatures. We've got to put people back into perspective where public servants are once again public servants. Isn't that right, Cindy?
It is. It's absolutely right. That we need to hold our public servants accountable. They are, they work for the people, and it is up to the people to hold them to that account because no one else is going to do it. If we don't do it, no one will. So it is up to us to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and that's part of the problem. We haven't been engaged in doing that for way too long. And so for that, we have to take some of the blame for what's happening in our country, but not all of it, because quite frankly, that's getting a little tiring at this point, don't you think? That, well, where have you been? Well, we're here. We've been here for a while, and you're getting upset because we're trying to hold you to account. What's up with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, that's the thing. I mean, we are in the mess that we're in because we cannot our legislators on a state and the national level don't feel like they're not accountable to anybody. They don't get voted out, you know, because most of the people are not engaged, and the people that are engaged are not taken seriously. You know, when the amount and the type of legislation that goes through the legislature here in Missouri and it on a national level, and you know we keep electing the same type of people and they keep getting away with the same types of shenanigans. You know, there's a problem. There's a huge problem.
There is a problem. It's a very big problem. And it's up to us, the voters, the constituents, to fix it. And if we're having problems, then we need to find people in our local community, starting there, Lisa, to get citizen representation. Restore that. Get people that live next door to you to run for office and stand by them, stand behind them, and hold them accountable. And if they're not doing the job, then say, look, you messed up. We're firing you. We're gonna hire someone else. That's what we have at our fingertips to do, and we're not utilizing it.
Right.
And it's up to us to make that happen and stop buying into the fear-mongering that, well, but, you know, you've got to have all of this money and everything. You know, it does take a lot of money to run for office. But on the other hand, if more people would get involved in the process, it might not take quite so much money. If more of our neighbors and our family members were engaged and actively involved, we could actually negate the importance of those dollars.
Well, folks, we are having a terrible problem here with Blog Talk Radio. We can't. We've lost our controls, and we can't get them back up, and we can't contact the folks here for help. So I'm thinking if we can't get this up and running here in the next couple of minutes, we're going to have to sign off and try to re-sign on again later. But I'm assuming we're still broadcasting live, but there's absolutely no way for us to get in touch with Blog Talk Radio. Cindy, do you have a board at all?
I don't have a board at all. It's gone.
Okay.
I tried to reset it, and I can't get back in.
It won't let us in. It won't let us into the studio, and it won't let us contact the help folks. So, folks, I think at this point we are going to sign off, and I will try to sign back on and see if we can't get some more of our guests. Oh, hold on a second here. We may be able to log in. Nope. Blog Talk Radio is not letting us log in. The entire show has kind of taken a turn for the worse because of technical difficulties through Blog Talk. I apologize to everyone out there. We had a great show lined up. We had Patrick Ishmael on the line waiting for us to be able to put him on. Unfortunately, we can't get to the board to get him on. We have a great interview with Robert Snyzak. He is the free market warrior, and I've got some great information for you folks on that. He's going to be coming to the St. Louis area, and we'll be posting information up on Missouri Grassroots Radio about a seminar that he's giving. You'll want to be involved in that. If you're anywhere in the St. Louis area, and you'll be able to get to St. Pete, Missouri at the end of April for a two-night seminar. You can do that with Robert Snyzak. He's a great guy, very informational, and a great civics lesson involved in what our economy is and what it's doing here and how it's affecting you. And we'll have also, hopefully, an update. If you remember, last fall, we had a great interview with a young man named Alex. He was a young man that I met out on the corner of K&M when I was out with the K&M Patriots. He's a high school student in this area, and he's really working in his area trying to get a conservative club at his school, and he's run into a little opposition. Imagine that. But he's a very active, very conservative young man with some great perspective, some very good young perspective on all of the pertinent issues, and he was supposed to be with us here tonight to talk about those things. And if we can't get things back up and running this evening, we'll have him on again very soon. Again, I'm apologizing to everybody. We've had a terrible evening with this Blog Talk Radio situation. We can't get the board up and running. We'll try to reschedule with all of these great guests. Rachel Payton from Americans for Prosperity is also supposed to be on with us, and we're having some problems. Just can't get things up and running. So at this point, Cindy, have you got anything we can add while we try to get things moving again?
Well, I would just say that I hope that people will really pay attention and get involved with the issue that Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder talked about. We need to call our state legislators, both our senator and our state representative, and say that we expect them to engage on this issue also to help stand up against this this. I don't even know how to describe it, Lisa. I'm actually speechless. I don't even know what to say. That we have a federal government circumventing our state laws and statutes to do an end run to spy on the citizens of our state, and it's just mind-boggling. They're using your tax dollars to come in and to put this equipment in, and to take away and your constitutional rights to due process, your right to privacy, your right to keep and bear arms without question. It's just absolutely stunning, and it is going to take everyone getting involved to deal with this, and to really, we have an opportunity here with the lawsuit, I think, Lisa, to really smack down the federal government. This could potentially go to the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, heads need to roll, because if this is as it appears now, and if the governor authorized this, I mean, there needs to be impeachment. I mean, heads need to roll all over the place. The governor needs to go. The Department of Revenue needs to go. I mean, people all over the state. And this is not a coincidence. I mean, Missouri has been barraged with legislation during this legislative session to infringe upon your Second Amendment rights. And there have been reports that this has been coming in from on high, that the president has been encouraging the left side of the legislatures across the country to initiate this kind of legislation. And then for this to turn up here in a small county in southeast Missouri, none of this is a coincidence, and obviously it's going on all over the state. And I'm sure that we'll find out as time goes by that there are more counties across the state other than Stoddard County who had this software and very expensive equipment installed in the Department of Revenues across Missouri to track your conceal and carry. It's not a coincidence, folks. I mean, there's a very concerted effort, and we talked about it at the top of the show. You know, they're buying ammunition, more ammunition than the Army needs to execute a war. You know, they've just decided that they can drone strike you anywhere on American soil, you know, mine-sweeping tanks. What do you need mine-sweeping tanks for in you know, where are you going to go in Missouri that you need a mine-sweeping tank?
Exactly. That was. I'm sorry. I shouldn't just laugh like that. But it's not funny. But it's reaching the point that it is so ridiculous the way our constitutional rights are being infringed, and it's almost laughable the extent to which they're going to destroy those liberties and really threatening the American people.
Yeah.
Because don't you think when you find out that they've got all of this ammunition, these tanks and everything, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little threatened right now by my government.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you and I were talking before the show. I'm like, I am ready to, I'm just about ready to crawl into a cave,
mm-hmm.
and pull a rock behind me and seal it off. I mean, there's just nowhere else to go, folks.
No, there's not. And you have to, but it's going to take us being involved and engaged. And I keep saying that because it's just so true. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are the type of people that do get involved, do get engaged, and do care about these issues. And we just need to spread the word and let them know, you know, about the things that are happening, and maybe pick those things, those big battles like this one with the Department of Revenue, and take it to them and just make it it's up to us to get it done. So.
Yeah.
And my board is back up, Lisa.
Is it? Okay, hopefully. Is it? Okay.
And I still see callers on here, but I don't know.
Okay.
So, folks, sorry about the
Technical difficulties here, folks. We are trying to get them taken care of as soon as possible. I'm almost up and running here, I think. Very slow loading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting anything. So, Cindy, why don't you go ahead and see if you can initiate those callers there. Oop,
okay.
There.
And, I'm not sure who I have here, so let me just try this one.
Okay. So, folks, again, like I said, we have a great full lineup here. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get to everybody tonight because we've had some horrible technical difficulties right at the end of the Lieutenant Governor's interview, his follow-up or his information on the Department of Revenue installing software across the state of Missouri to track your licenses with your concealed carry. We will have information up for you at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and the Missouri Grassroots Coalition webpage. We will link some of the blogs that are initiating this information and trying to spread this information, because you're not finding it. You're not going to find it in national media. Like we said, all of this stuff blew up on Monday. Here it is on Wednesday. This should be a national news story, and you're not seeing any of it on local news. I'm not seeing it here in the St. Louis area at all, except on a few blogs. And, you know, this should definitely, absolutely be a national news story. Mason? Oh, Cindy? I've got a yellow bubble here, Cindy. So if you have information at all about, your Department of Revenue to get your driver's license renewed, and you've run into the same kind of situation that they've had in Stoddard County, we absolutely want to we want you to come forward and join in the lawsuit. The Lieutenant Governor said that they're trying to get civil lawsuits across the state of Missouri to follow up with this. So there's going to be a lot of support out there to push this through and to protect your Second Amendment rights. So I think we are running aboard now. I know that we have people on the phone, on the line. Let us try to go to some commercials here and try to find out who we have on the line, and maybe we can continue with our show. Or not.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like
by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Okay, I'm not sure where we are with things. I know that I have a red mic. I hope we're on the air. Cindy, I don't know if you can hear me. We're trying to get some folks on the air here. Again, we've had a huge meltdown with Blog Talk Radio. The circuits are just all jammed up, and we can't get the boards to run, and we can't get anybody on the air. So we're trying to find out who our callers are. Our board is lit up with callers, but we don't seem to be able to get anything running up and running. So we're going to take a minute to try to get things going again. But if we can't get things going again, we will just have to shut down and try again for next week. Very sorry for all of the inconvenience. Thank you all for hanging on with us as long as you've held on. We're doing the very best we can to resolve the issue, but it's evidently not going to work out for us well this week. And we seem to have lost our callers here. So what I think I'm going to do is we've been hopefully on the air for almost an hour now, and it seems like Blog Talk Radio is not going to be able to resolve the issue anytime soon. And rather than us just blathering on incessantly for an hour without being able to bring you our guests, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and shut this thing down. I apologize to all the listeners, and I apologize to all the guests. We will try to get this thing up and running again for you and get that information out to you from the Lieutenant Governor so that you can become active and fight this issue with our Second Amendment rights being infringed upon by the Department of Revenue in Missouri. And we'll
hello.
Hello. Who have I got on the line? Oh, my God.
This is Patrick Ishmael, the showman. I noticed something change in the forest, so I figured I'd pipe in and see if I was online right now, but it sounds like I might be.
Yes, it sounds like you are online, and I apologize to you, Patrick. I've not ever had this problem with Blog Talk Radio before, but something has blown up in their system, and the studio board is just nuts. But while I have you
on okay.
Well, I'm glad we're on the air, so while I have you on the line, let's do a little background on this issue. There was an email loop that we're both a member of here in the St. Louis area. Patrick Ishmael is with the Show Me Institute. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay. And the Show Me Institute, a couple of years ago, when the China Hub was a huge issue here in Missouri, and they had a whole special session, and it was a big deal, tax credits galore. The Show Me Institute was very active in going out and informing the folks in Missouri about what all of this tax credit issue and the China Hub issue was and what that meant for the citizens of Missouri. Patrick, you did a lot of work on this, and it kind of came to our attention that there are a couple of bills floating through the legislature again this year that they're not directly worded as China Hub bills as they were a couple of years ago, but there are components in several different bills. And since you are such an expert on this issue, we kind of wanted to have you on to kind of give us some direction and sort this out.
Sure. Well, to give you some background, again, thank you for having me on. The Aerotropolis Project was a $500 million tax credit proposal that was put forward back in 2011. And primarily what the tax credit was going to fund was warehouses, and there were different stipulations for which warehouses were going to qualify, the nature of how those tax credits would be distributed. There were acreage requirements, really kind of strange stuff for a bill that's supposed to support exports here in the state. Eventually, it moved from a $500 million bill to a $360 million bill and then down to a $60 million bill that focused on freight forwarder tax credits, so those that export the goods from specifically Lambert Airport in St. Louis. Our concerns, and Audrey Spaulding and I wrote a paper on this and really explored the different aspects of the original project, and our concern was that it ended up looking like a big kind of giveaway of taxpayer money. There wasn't really a a good study out there that looked at whether or not this was actually going to be a benefit to taxpayers anyway. And better tax policy, instead of just picking winners and losers, is to make sure that everybody can benefit. But the magnitude of this project to the state cost-wise was enormous, and it was really kind of symptomatic of a larger issue here in the state. In tax credits for development purposes, we expend about $400 million a year on these tax credits, and it's to specific interest groups oftentimes, and we're always promised jobs, jobs, jobs. They never tend to really pop up as promised usually, and that's really disappointing. It's kind of a waste of our money ultimately, but we expend all these credits. And to give some perspective, the corporate income tax only brings in $300 million in revenue. We spend $400 million, mm-hmm. but we only bring in $300 million from the corporate income tax. So in real, arguably, what we're doing is, with the corporate income tax, subsidizing our tax credit largesse. And the Aerotropolis project was part and parcel of that unfortunate kind of cronyistic culture. And so what you're seeing this year, it came back up kind of last year, the Aerotropolis project. What you're seeing this year is the freight forwarder portion of it. It's part of a larger bill that includes some new credits and includes some tax credit reforms. It's not exactly Aerotropolis from 2011, but elements of it are still being discussed in the legislature. And, you know, most of the concerns that we had before as to, you know, what's left of the bill kind of still attacks. I mean, why would we pick and choose winners in this particular market? Why not just give a tax cut to everybody?
Okay, and there are a couple of bills floating around out there. I mean, the one bill that we kind of discussed, yes, there are elements of it, and I think that's a Representative Ann Zaire's bill from St. Charles. Is that the same one?
There are a couple different bills that are related. There, you have the SB 120 relates to the some of the reform issues that actually contains the freight forwarder part. I think that there's another bill that deals with distressed land assemblage.
Okay.
And a lot of times what you have are the same players, the same developers that are connected to a lot of these different credits and a lot of these different projects. And really, you know, that's important, you know, to whatever extent. But the really big issue ultimately is this a good investment of taxpayer money? And the answer almost categorically is no.
It's no.
You look at all the different carve-outs, whether it's distressed land assemblage or Quality Jobs Act or, you know, the proposed Aerotropolis or historic preservation tax credits, and the return on investment is really abysmal. And the state knows that the historic preservation tax credit returns 23 cents for every dollar that we spend on it to the state. The low-income housing tax credit returns 11 cents on the dollar for every dollar that we spend in that tax credit. I mean, there is no one else that would make this so-called investment except for, you know, you either have to be crazy or you'd have to be the state of Missouri. In this case,
this is
the
Gun Owners Minute.
Oops, I'm sorry. We're blowing up here.
Dan
Mondino, a 16-year
veteran of the Secret Service protecting presidents.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
that's
okay.
Hold on. We tried to start this commercial before you went on. Okay, so I think I have it off. Okay, so in your estimation, Patrick, okay, so we've got bits and pieces of this tax credit issue. We've already determined that it's not a good idea, you know, for tax credits. So why do we have a Republican legislature introducing bits and pieces of tax credit legislation again after we made it very clear the grassroots really did a good job of rising up 2 years ago to make it very clear that we don't want tax credits in Missouri?
Well, I think it really kind of comes down to this tension between policies that are, you know, you would think would be pro-business and policies that are pro-growth. So, you know, and it's understandable, it's rational for legislators to be, well, I want to be able to be associated with the new plant that's opening up that's going to be getting these tax credits and picking and choosing who gets what and being able to go out to the ribbon-cutting ceremony and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference between something that is pro-business or pro-specific business, which is really what tax credits come down to, and pro-growth reforms. And pro-growth reforms are reforms that ultimately benefit all of us because we're able to reinvest our money into our own businesses, into, you know, being able to save a little bit more money. If you look at the hierarchy of destructive tax structures, the corporate income tax is the most destructive to growth, followed by the individual income tax, the sales
mm-hmm.
tax, and then the property tax. And so what you really want to do is you want to reform it so that you're not taxing the folks' labor. You don't want to tax their income because ultimately, and we see this in retirement accounts, we see this in savings accounts, the most possible dollars that you can have are those dollars that you invest early in the process. My dollar from 40 years ago is going to be more powerful than my dollar from 20 years ago. It's that compounding effect. So if I'm a business and I want to make sure that my business is growing, you know, leaps and bounds, if I have a choice between paying a tax on my income or adding a tenth machine to my factory so I can produce more, so I can employ more, so I can make more money, I'm going to want to be able to get that machine because that's going to help me grow faster. It's a compounding effect. Income taxes are just very destructive to that. And I think the tax credits themselves, by and large, are an admission that the taxes that we're enacting in the state are too high. Otherwise, there would be no need to have a tax credit. If we have to have a tax credit to make the state more attractive, well, maybe we should consider reforming our tax code entirely. And I think that that's a better route instead of trying to pick and choose winners and losers to the extent that we pick more winners and losers, mostly losers, with tax credits than what we take in revenue from the corporate income tax. We have a serious problem. We really need to look at reforms that benefit everybody rather than a few.
Absolutely. So as just the average Joe citizen, I mean, what can we do to attack these issues, do you think?
Well, you know, we're a research group. I would encourage everyone that would be interested in this issue to go to our website, showmeinstitute.org, or go to our blog, showmedaily.org. We've done studies on the corporate income tax, on the tax on pass-through income. Those are readily available on the website. We have a Twitter account, @showme. And actually, we have a great Facebook account. So if you just search for Show Me Institute on Facebook, follow us and communicate with us. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And really, ultimately, we are here as a resource to anyone and everyone, and we're happy to talk with anyone who has a question or a comment about anything that we're working on.
Okay. Patrick Ishmael of the Show Me Institute, thank you so much for coming on and putting up with our technical difficulties this evening and trying to make some clarity out of this tax credit issue here that we have in Missouri that just will not seem to go away.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was a real pleasure.
Please come back often and keep us updated on this, and folks, go to the Show Me Institute and get some more information on this issue because they've been following it very well for quite some time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patrick. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we are going to try to go to a commercial break. There we go.
This is the Gun Owner's Minute. Dan Bongino, a 16-year veteran of the Secret Service protecting presidents and carrying a firearm, speaks out about no such thing as gun control.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as gun control. Don't co-opt their language. There's only people control. And I can prove it to you. I spent 16 years of my life with a badge on my chest, which served as a target for some, unfortunately. I don't remember ever having the conversation during my years in the Secret Service. I mean, listen, we're taking the president to Baltimore, to Chicago, so let's just disarm because they have really strict gun control laws. Now, why is that funny? The reason is it's funny because it's funny. I never, in 15-plus years of doing this, have ever arrested or investigated someone on a gun crime who had that gun legally. So you have to ask yourself, why? It's not about gun control. Do not co-opt the language. When they own the language, they own the argument.
Yes.
There is a reason they are doing this.
Help get his message out and make this go viral. For the full text, go to Why is this month-old clip of an ex-Secret Service agent suddenly going viral on YouTube? This has been The Old Patriot.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grass Fire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Culture Vigilante Zoo. We have had some interesting technical difficulties tonight, and we don't even know who's on the board completely, but I think we've got most of it worked out. I think we have Rachel Payton with us tonight. Rachel, are you on the line with us by any chance?
I think I am, maybe.
Okay, thank God. Okay. I'm so sorry for all of the confusion to you, to all the guests, and to all the folks out there on the internet tonight. Blog Talk Radio has had some technical difficulties with their boards, and we've just had some interesting things going on. We couldn't communicate or regroup or anything. So anyway, Rachel Payton of Americans for Prosperity is with us tonight. I got a communication from Americans for Prosperity earlier this week on my Facebook page. Those folks are working it hard across the state of Missouri trying to connect the citizens with the elected on a state and national level. And Rachel ran into some issues with Claire this week. Imagine that, having problems with Claire McCaskill. Freezing cold, snowy winter issues with Claire McCaskill in the state of Missouri. Rachel, what happened this week?
Well, it actually happened last Friday. There were a group of 14 activists from here in mid-Missouri. The youngest activist was 5 years old. The oldest was 70. And we showed up at Senator McCaskill's Columbia office at 1 o'clock to present their office with about 991 signatures that we had collected from Missourians all over the state asking her to rein in federal funding and to say that we were not opposed to the sequester and to let it happen. We were allowed into the office, but we weren't allowed to go, we weren't invited into the office. We literally, 14 people were crammed, 15 if you count the staffer, were crammed into this probably 4x6 room. We all had our coats on because it was cold. It was basically the vestibule, like the door between the actual office and the outside door. And we were allowed to speak with a staffer for about 5 minutes or so. But I used to work in a congressional office, and our state director used to be the director of a congressional office. And that's not how you treat your constituents. But these people came to have their voices be heard. They wanted the staff of Senator McCaskill to know how they felt about an issue and not be stuck out in the cold, vestibule to have a meeting or a conversation. And whether they were short-staffed or I don't even know what excuses they can use.
Well, tell me again. What were the ages of these people, these citizens of Missouri that were being forced out into the cold? What were their age levels?
The youngest was I had a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, probably 4 or 5, 3 college students, several other people in their 20s, a few in their 30s, one in their 40s, and then a couple that were, were pushing 70. They were about 70 years old. It was all walks of life from here in mid-Missouri. People.
And they couldn't ask them in out of the cold? Snow?
No.
I mean, we had some bitter cold weather over the last week.
It was 32 degrees. There was still snow on the ground. It was very unpleasant. And the reason we were there were for those little kids. The people in mid-Missouri went there because they're worried about their kids' futures. And we were literally stuck out in the cold.
And we had this conversation earlier, folks. I mean, we've got legislators on a state and national level who are not public servants anymore. They have become elites. And when they can't even invite people in out of the cold, their constituents, to come in out of the cold to be heard on issues, you got real problems here. And children. children.
Yes, we did the same event on Monday at Representative Vicki Hartzler's office, and she disagreed with us on the sequester issue also, but they did invite us into their conference room and sat us at a table and had a good, healthy discussion about how to cut federal spending and how we're concerned about, you know, our children and their future and things like that. And that was a very productive meeting. And we didn't agree. We did not agree on that issue. But you don't have to agree to have a healthy conversation and a healthy discussion about the future and about spending and about how we're going to save this country for our kids.
I'm just stunned. I mean, was Claire in the office at the time
I don't think so. The office was dark. We couldn't see if there was anybody in there at all. I mean, we were literally, like, in a vestibule, like key codes to get into the next area of the office.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, folks, we had the opportunity to take this woman out at the November election, and we voted her in. I don't think you would have had this problem if we had Todd Eakin sitting in that seat. People, I'm sure, would not have been waiting out in cold vestibules on snowy days, especially older women and young children, to be heard on the issues, folks, pertinent here to the folks of Missouri. That's just outrageous. And I think we've had these kinds of problems with Claire before, not having accessibility to her at various offices across the state. That's just inexcusable.
I say we keep trying. Just because she froze us out this one time, we've got to keep trying to make sure our voices are heard.
Absolutely.
We can't let her off easy by not going there and visiting her, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Okay, so Rachel, Americans for Prosperity has a lot of irons in the fire right now. So tell us a little bit about what you've got going on. We talked to Patrick last week about all of the ballot initiatives going on in April. What else have you guys got going on?
That's our big push right now. We are traveling around the state discussing with local groups that have contacted us about how to defeat a local tax increase. Mm-hmm. I gave a presentation in Kansas City about that. We've got a couple across the state coming up next week as well in Springfield and Jeff City. I think there's going to be some in the St. Louis area. So we've got that coming up. And then we're working on another project right now that we're not quite ready to spill the beans about yet, but
okay.
Stay tuned to our Facebook page and our website and Twitter, and, you know, we will definitely, probably in the next week, there's going to be some fun stuff going on with AFT Missouri.
Okay, can you give us a hint? Does it have to do with legislation?
It does have to do with legislation and the madness that's going on. That'll be my teaser.
Well, you got that right. There's madness going on here in Missouri on a state level. There's just madness coming out of the woodwork. So, in the marble halls of Jefferson City, there's just too much going on down there. Okay, very good. Thank you, Rachel. I really appreciate you coming on and sticking with us through all of this chaos today on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Hopefully
you
next
sound
time
you. Lisa, you're doing a great job, even
Thank
with the
you.
Difficulties.
Thank you so much. We're
Thank
working
you.
On it. Well, these kinds of things, you know, if they don't kill you, they make you stronger, I guess. Okay, so Rachel Payton, Americans for Prosperity, folks. Go to the Americans for Prosperity webpage, AFPMO.org?
Yes.
AFPMO.org.
AFPMO.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll talk to you again hopefully soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Robert Snyzak of Montana, and he's going to talk to us about a great game that he's got going.
We have special guests in, of course. Richard Blowers has been joining us for the for the
not
whole
that
session,
one.
The whole series, I should say. We've got Greg Harned.
Okay, we're going to try that again.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
Yes, we are back. This is Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and things are returning to normal. I think we've got our board back in play. We've got guests on the line. We've got commercials on the key. I think we're almost back to normal. We're running out of time, but I think we're good to go. Earlier this week, I ran across a friend, a new friend on one of my social networking sites. Folks, I'm a homeschooler. I've homeschooled my kids. My youngest is getting ready to go off to college in the fall. And, you know, I have to tell you, education, I mean, there are a lot of reasons to homeschool your kids. Education in this country is a real mess, and Cindy's a homeschooler too. We've all known for a very long time that kids are not getting the kind of education in this country that makes a strong citizenry. A lot of the problem is that there has been a lack of civics being taught in the public schools for generations now. And that's part of the reason why the larger part of the citizenry is not engaged. They're not educated and informed on how their government is supposed to work. And, most of the people wouldn't know, who the attorney general is or who on a state or national level if you asked them. You know, they wouldn't know who runs the Department of Education. They wouldn't know, why we're really not supposed to have a Department of Education on a state or national level. You know, and most people might not even know what your Second Amendment is for your second, you know, to be able to protect your Second Amendment rights. Anyway, we have a guest on with us tonight who has attacked this issue from a very unique perspective. And, you know, there are a lot of us out there working in the grassroots. We're trying to make a difference. We're trying to inform and educate the folks on what's going on. Robert Snyzak, I hope I'm saying this right. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Robert. But he has developed a board game. And it's a constitutional board game, and there's a great website out there. We'll talk to Robert about this and get some information on there. But it's a when family structure has decayed to the level that it's decayed, when people are mostly worried about running to soccer practice and baseball practice and sports, and we're having fragmented families, and we don't even have dinner together anymore. And we don't understand basic civics and how our government is supposed to work. Robert Snyzak has a great solution for us. Thanks for being on with us, Robert. Thanks for sticking with us through the chaos.
You betcha.
What a zoo. Things are not usually this disorganized and crazy, but I think we've got the bugs worked out. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yeah, Snyzak. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
That's impressive. Not everybody can pull that off. So.
Thanks. Well, we've got one thing going right for us tonight. Anyway,
yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Robert, I have seen your. I mean, because I'm in the homeschool community, I've seen the information floating around about your game here. You have developed a fabulous board game here. And it's kind of, based loosely on Monopoly and aggravation and all kinds of different games, but it's a fabulous, fabulous game, and it's a constitutional game.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I appreciate that intro. And what makes the game is called We the People Fight Tyranny. We the People Fight Tyranny game is the name of the game, and people can take a look at it. It's wethepeoplegame.com. They can find it there and take a look at it. And there's a few examples of the history cards that are in the game. What makes it, I think, different is that I guess it's kind of like a cross between Trivial Pursuit and Monopoly, mm-hmm. except there's a purpose behind it, and that is to be another tool for parents to be able to teach not only the extraordinary path that America has had, but to use humor to be able to warn people, neighbors, you know, for that matter, along with your kids, about the direction that we're headed and the unconstitutional things that are happening. So it uses a lot of satire. It's not a mean satire, but it is over the top that I think illustrates to kids and also adults about some of the crazy things that are happening. And so as a person, you know, plays the game, they're able to learn what social justice is and how it's not a good thing. And so as a person lands on these social justice spots, they lose money and they lose some stars that they're trying to gain to win the game, and so it makes it kind of a battle, but that becomes an impression upon younger people about some of the effects of false justice and the difference between true liberty, which is what the founders advocated for, that come from God, and entitlements that come from the hand of government, which can just as easily be taken away, which is a sad truth is that I think that kids nowadays, they don't understand the difference between those inalienable rights that they were born with,
right,
and the false entitlements that are being used to basically enslave us.
Absolutely.
But it's been a labor of love, you know, with my wife and I for the past few years in putting it together, and you know, we have 5 young kids, and I've got my day job, and I just couldn't stand by a few years ago and yell at the TV any longer. It just wasn't doing me any good. You know, I don't think that they're listening, you know, at me, certainly, you know, yelling at the idiot box. And so for me, this is what I needed to do to be able to fight back and to, again, provide a tool for parents, because there isn't really anything like this out there. There's plenty of games that teach the Constitution, but mm-hmm. there is not a lot of games that do it with a whole lot of humor, which is what we try to do.
Yeah, this is a very well thought out game. Folks, you got to go to wethepeoplegame.com and take a look. I mean, everything is up there for you to see the game before you buy it. And you need to buy this game because, I mean, they've got social justice cards, they've got federal ID cards, and then you can go in and you can click on all the tabs and you can see the various aspects of the game and the kinds of questions that you're posed with. You know, not only will this teach you about the Constitution and teach you about how the current events are shaping our culture today, it's kind of a critical thinking issue, too. Some critical thinking and some reasoning aspects have to go into play in this game. And are you guys a homeschooling family, Robert?
You know, we're not. I guess the schools here in Montana still work.
Good for you.
You know, I guess in terms of teaching my own family, I mean, clearly that's something that we take really seriously. You know, and there's been a couple times where my daughter in geometry, she's 14 years old, was being taught all about the redistribution of wealth and how, you know, and this was in geometry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so my daughter took it for just a little while, but then kind of laid into them, you know, because these are the types of things that we spoke about and we teach at home. And really it's not the responsibility of Big Brother to teach our children. It's our responsibility. And,
absolutely.
You know, we do use the public education system here in Montana, and it's, you know, for the most part, it works fairly well. But that was an instance where it wasn't, and you know, I contacted the teacher and, you know, had to sit down with them and kind of explain my views on things. And I think that type of thing is happening across the country clearly, and so that's why more and more families are going to homeschooling as a solution. And whether or not you use the public system or do homeschooling, it's still, again, your responsibility to make sure your kids understand these types of principles, to understand what's in the Constitution so that when those rights are being violated, they know what those rights are. It's hard to fight back if you don't know what they are. So what we did is we broke it down into there's five different history categories. One of them is In God We Trust, and so it's about God in America and how God had a very, and has a very essential part in the founding of our nation. And then another category is all about the founding documents, including the Constitution. But what I think makes this game special is that every question not only, you know, provides the answer on the backside, but also provides the rest of the story. And so it's the what, you know, what, why it matters to begin with. You know, so yeah, sure, you know, if the answer happens to be, you know, the Second Amendment, well, we want to talk about what that means and, you know, and how that was brought forth. And then everything is also sourced. And so we used over 100 different books and hundreds of online resources so that people can not just take a word for it. You know, they can go ahead and continue their education with their kid or with, you know, or with the neighbor across the street. So that's, you know, it becomes a powerful teaching tool in that respect. And, you know, and again, there's that humor that's built into the game too. The one way that the game starts actually is you roll the dice and whoever gets the lowest roll, they become the game czar. And the game czar chooses your federal ID card. And so, and that determines how much money you have to start with and what your job is and what car you drive. And as you're going around these tracks, you're losing money like crazy as you're landing on these social justice spots. And let me give you a quick example of a social justice card. One is, and there's a picture that goes along with it, but it says, you are arrested at a Meat Easy, an underground illegal greasy burger joint, and fined $2,000 for your deluxe double bacon cheeseburger with curly fries. And then, you know, it was the best $2,000 you've spent in years. If you're a police officer, that's one of the federal ID cards. Your fine is $6,000. And so you just have a little chuckle, but there's a lot of thorns of truth. You know, and, yep. And the social justice cards, and hopefully, you know, the next time the kid hears social justice being framed improperly as something that's a good thing by their teacher or whoever, then they, you know, they'll have kind of a visceral response to that word.
So let's talk about age groups, because I mean, one of the most fun things that my kids, I mean, my kids are older now, but you know, family game night is kind of, we cherish that. So if you're a large family and you have more than just a couple of kids and they're spaced out, you know, in a larger span of time, how what's the age group for this kind of game limit?
Well, you can, you know, always team up with, you know, younger kid with an older one. But basically it's for teenagers on up. I would say about, you know, my 12-year-old boy, you know, plays it and enjoys it and doesn't have a problem with it. But, you know, that's about as young as I would want to go with it. What I found, though, that homeschooled children are smarter generally. You know, they tend to be more advanced academically than those kids that are within the public education system. So, you know, when I've shared this game with some of the homeschool groups, you know, I mean, you have, you know, like, so the 12-year-olds and the 11-year-olds that can play it and understand it. And I tried to make it accessible, but, you know, to as broad a range as possible. But, you know, like I said, I think if a younger kid teams up with an older one, you can pull it off. But on the box, I think I say 15 and up.
Okay.
But when I've been hearing from families, I hear that, oh, yeah, my 12-year-old thinks that's his most favorite game. It's like, okay, well, great. You know, the smart 12-year-old.
I would see a 12-year-old doing this. I don't think that that's too young. And,
yeah.
I would imagine that you could go a little younger even yet with some kids.
Mm-hmm. And all the humor is, you know, of course, G-rated. You know, it might go over the heads of some of the younger kids, you know.
Right.
But that's also an opportunity to be able to talk about, you know, hey, this is the reason why – you know, this is funny. You know, it's like, this has happened. And sometimes on those social justice cards, things that I made up to be a joke about regulation of lemonade stands or something like that, you know, have been happening, you know. And so some of them are actually, you know, sourced, because after I made the game, it's like, oh, wow, that's actually happened in such and such a place. So I put the source down at the bottom of some of those funny cards too.
Yep. I mean, this game, I mean, and it, when you go to wethepeoplegame.com, folks, you'll see the game. It's visually appealing. It's bright. It's colorful. You know, you'll be able to see all of the cards and the questions. And, I mean, it just looks like that you've thought of everything on here. So it looks like it's all – everything's all encompassing here. This is a great game to sit down with your family, and family time is such an important thing that we've kind of let go by the wayside. So family game nights are just my family and I just my kids and I just enjoy being together doing family game nights. It's just hilarious. So this is a great way to kind of bring those ties back a little closer, and you know, maybe not quite run off to football practice or soccer practice all the time. You know, why don't you cut back a little bit and spend some time with the family and have family game night?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, I think that, you know, there's a lot of games out there that, like Trivial Pursuit, well, by definition, it's trivial. You know, we like to think this is the first non-trivial trivia game in America, you know, where there's a purpose behind it. You know, there's, like I said, that tool aspect of it, because, you know, if we don't have that conversation with our kids about how special America is, then unfortunately our teachers, you know, will, or when they go off to college, for example, and when yep. the required reading is Howard Zinn, you know, or some person who, quite frankly, hates America. And so if they have that foundation built now, they won't be, you know, as likely to be suckered into the propaganda that they'll be, you know, they'll be thrown at them later. So, but
absolutely.
By the way, though, the game is made in America, which I think is important.
Oh, very
You're
good.
Not going to make the We the People Fight Tyranny game in communist China.
Absolutely.
we did have it made in America. And there's an outfit in Michigan that we worked with, and you know, the game board itself is over 2 feet by 2 feet large. There's 700 cards total, and so we really tried to make it something that would, you know, be of high quality and would last.
Well, it looks great, folks. So go to wethepeoplegame.com, take a look at this game, order it up, and everybody within the listening voice of Missouri Blog Talk Radio needs to get a hold of this game and have a family game night. Robert, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for hanging with us through the chaos.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lisa. I'm glad you survived the blog meltdown experience, and and look forward to listening to you in the future. Hang in there.
Okay, we'll put the link to your website back up on the web page and on our Facebook page. And folks, go ahead and get a hold of this game and give us your feedback. Send us your feedback. We'll pass it on to Robert. I think it's a great game, though. It looks fabulous, and we'll get a copy
you,
for ourselves. And thanks for being on with us, Robert, and come back
all
and
right,
give us
God
an update.
All right, God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back and talk to Alex.
This is the Gun Owners Minute. Missouri House Democrats introduced Bill Number 545, an anti-gun bill, which would turn law-abiding firearm owners into criminals. They will have 90 days to turn in their guns if the legislation is passed. This is what's in the bill. Any person who, prior to the effective date of this law, was legally in possession of an assault weapon or large-capacity magazine shall have 90 days from such effective date to do any of the following without being subject to prosecution. 1. Remove the assault weapon or large capacity magazine from the state of Missouri. 2. Render the assault weapon permanently inoperable. Or 3. Surrender the assault weapon or large capacity magazine to the appropriate law enforcement agency for destruction, subject to specific agency regulations. It also states unlawful manufacture, import, possession, purchase, sale, or transfer of an assault weapon or a large-capacity magazine is a Class C felony. Thank God that Missouri has a pro-gun House and Senate with a veto-proof majority. This has been the Old Patriot.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Majesties.
just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. This is Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and this is Lisa Payne Nager, and it's just been a real interesting evening. We have had a full lineup of folks. Thanks to all the guests tonight who've hung with us. We will bring you that interview with Lauren Spivak, the Free Market Warrior, next week. We are hosting here in the St. Louis area a seminar with Lauren Spivak at the Family Vision Library on the 29th, last Monday and Tuesday in April. So I think it's the 29th and the 30th, or the 30th and the 1st of May. I'm not quite sure what that is. Because my calendar won't come up. Maybe it's my computer. There we go. Anyway, Lauren Spivak will be here in St. Louis. We also have a full lineup of his travels across the country, giving us a seminar on the free market economy and how that affects you on an everyday level, how it shaped the government and the atrocities that have been assaulted against our free market economy. And so anyway, we'll have Lauren Spivak's interview with you for you next week with that. This evening, we have with us Alex. Alex is a high school student in the area here. Met him on the corner of K&N. He was a young and ambitious and very involved and engaged high school student. I think he's 17. He may be 18. I'm not quite sure. We'll ask him. And very up on all of the issues and very engaged in conservative values. And he was very eager to get involved in the K&N Patriots. And he's ambitious enough also, which you don't see this in teenagers today, trying to start a conservative club in his school. And he was on with us before, and he was talking about the pushback and the trials and tribulations that he was running up against. Although we're happy to say, while he may not have been completely successful in getting his conservative club started, he hasn't given up. So he's here with us tonight to give us an update. Thanks for hanging in with us tonight, Alex.
Oh, it's okay. There's a good filibuster to watch right now.
Oh, good. So is Rand Paul still filibustering?
Yes, technically. Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming is speaking right now, but Senator Rand Paul still has the floor, and we're going on 10 hours.
That is amazing. So, not crazy about Rand Paul over the last couple of weeks with his voting for Yeah, but you know, this is a great move. So we're really happy to see that. And so you've been following this all day?
No, I had school today, but I got home and I've been watching it since then. And it is very entertaining. And they are raising some important and very good questions about the proposed bill about drone strikes on U.S. citizens.
Thank God, somebody needs to.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit, Alex. So when we met around election time last year, you were trying to initiate a conservative club or some kind of a young conservatives club in your school in the area here, and having some problems. Although I think, if I recall correctly, there was some support for it, but the administration and some of the teachers were a little bit afraid to get behind it publicly. So what have you found out since then?
I found out that there's one brave, courageous teacher out there that's willing to take a stand for conservatism despite the workplace pushback that she would be having. Now, of course, I'm not going to say her name, but
no.
The other teachers will judge her and probably have already judged her. The majority of my school is the teachers and the administration are liberal Democrats. And I could probably find, I have found about six teachers that have a conservative or a Republican lean, but when I proposed it to all of them, they shied away from it and they said no, just from the fear of what would happen in the workplace, the judgments from the other teachers and such. But this one teacher, only one out of a whole school of teachers, agreed to do it, and we've been having a little trouble, but I mean, that comes from starting a new club from nothing like
mm-hmm.
this has been done at this school or in any schools around, so it's been a little difficult. We're shooting for having a big start next year and maybe even gauging general interest a little more officially by the end of this year, and I'm really excited to get this going. We have an election year coming up in 2014,
mm-hmm.
and then with the elections coming up a little sooner. I think St. Louis just had theirs, and out here we're going to have ours in April.
Right.
So I'm just very excited to get this going and to spread the conservative values out to the youth, because when you think about it, it's interesting. Well, at least for me, I'm involved in the political world, but I also get to see the teenagers every day that don't really know much about politics. But I mean, they're mature enough that they watch the news and they're on Twitter and they see the hashtags trending and they see the posts on Facebook. So they aren't getting the full story. And I think that it's very important that we give them the full story with the media and then even their own teachers with the leftist tilt. I think it's incredibly important that more schools have clubs like a conservative club or a Republican club that can help get the truth out to young students across America.
Oh, Alex, you are to be commended for the work that you're doing, because we can't get adults to do what you're trying to do most of the time. And especially in what I would, for lack of a better word, call a hostile environment. You know, most of the schools, even though we technically live in a conservative area, the schools are not conservative at all.
Yeah.
So for you to take that stand publicly within your atmosphere there and your environment, and to have at least one teacher come and step out into the open and support that publicly, that's really to be commended. But how are the students looking at it?
The ones that that know about it, that have shown interest in it, they themselves are a little skeptical, because, I mean, I think we know that from the media and on a public range, that Republicans don't necessarily have the best reputation. Even though they're doing things to secure the freedoms of every American, we have the media and the Democrats and teachers saying that, well, they really aren't. So hopefully maybe able to...
give me your perspective on that. What do you think? I mean, we've got, you know, here in Missouri, we have a Republican supermajority. We should be able to override anything coming from the governor's office or any veto. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what time you came on with us, but we have a whole bunch of stuff going on in Missouri that's not very conservative, you know.
I know. I hate to sound cliche when I say this, but it's just politics. They're doing what they can do to secure that they have that seat again. There are term limits, but I'm pretty sure that a couple of them have a few terms left. And they just want to be able to do nothing that gets them in the news, and that they'll just sail through this and then they'll sail through another session.
So as a young person, what do you think about term limits, and what do you see when you see these public servants kind of just cruising through their terms?
I don't like it when anyone at the local, the state, or the national level just cruises through and has takes a back seat to whatever they're involved in. This is why I really enjoy what Rand Paul is doing. You don't hear a lot of conservatives or any Republicans taking a stand or getting in the media, because, I mean, they like to take the back seats and just hopefully the GOP will fund them, and then they'll get reelected, and then they'll get reelected. But it's the few brave conservatives we have out there, like Marco Rubio, who began the filibuster, and Senator Rand Paul, who's, I believe, currently still talking. I mean,
excellent.
I think we hit the 10-hour mark at 47.
Wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
So,
but it's those people that I think we need to keep in there.
Right. And the more young conservative crowd, the younger conservative crowd, which would be the Rubios and Rand Paul. So tell me, there's been a lot of stuff going on with gun control. I mean, I don't know if you heard Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder on, and there's just a whole slew of legislation going through the Missouri House and Senate this year on gun control. And I know that you've watched the news. You've seen that, you know about the Sandy Hook shootings and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
What do you and the younger crowd that you hang with, are they engaged in this gun control debate?
Oh, totally. There was a period of 2 weeks where that was all that was talked about in almost any class, that even the ones that didn't involve any form of politics. It was a lot of mixed reactions. Students didn't really know what to think, because it's just an incredibly it is very polarized on this issue as far as the country goes. I have a teacher that cannot seem to wrap his head around the idea of government tyranny. He asks us every day. He can understand why a citizen would need a handgun to defend themselves, but he couldn't understand why they would need an assault rifle. And this is definitely a tough issue for conservatives and Republicans to explain, and it especially it's easy for Democrats to shoot down and then make them look bad, and then that causes the kids to think that Republicans look bad, and the domino effect begins.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me ask you this. There have been a lot of issues in the media lately where, especially in schools, there seems to be kind of a, for lack of a better term, a brainwashing thing kind of going on. I mean, they're suspending kids for eating Pop-Tarts shaped like guns and, you know, for, you know, making a gun with their finger and their thumb. And I mean, are you experiencing any of that kind of mind control thing going on at the high school level here?
I would say that maybe not at the high school level, because we know what we're doing, and we know that that is definitely frowned upon, which is ridiculous. I'm just waiting for them to start banning the letter L and the number 7 turned sideways in schools from math problems and homework.
Right.
But in these higher level classes, it's easier for teachers to relate their own beliefs to points that they're teaching about. For example, in government, of course, that there's always some talk about the teacher's own personal beliefs, because it's such a higher level of talking than, say, for example, first grade class, where you have the outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I could see that a teacher would be thinking that they are teaching that student a lesson about gun safety, when really they may just be scaring that student and scaring the other students away from eventually down the road defending themselves.
Right. Well, I think that's it. I think that they're trying to put that idea out there that people should be afraid of guns instead of seeing them as an avenue of protection. And I was just wondering, you know, are the high school kids buying into that propaganda, or are they taking the bait?
It's very mixed reactions, I would say. They're just as polarized as the country itself. And I'm very glad that it isn't, as with many of the issues, tilted to the left because of the media. But a lot of kids are taking a stand. A lot of kids around here are hunters, and they're saying, well, hey, I know that guns can defend me from another person, from another government, from our government, and therefore I think they are important. But then we have other people that don't see the whole picture. And I'm hoping that maybe through this club or any other outlet that we can maybe get these younger kids to see the full picture. Because I am only 17, to answer your question from before. And I'm worried that when I turn 21, then maybe I won't be able to purchase a handgun with the ease that one could have now to protect my family. Maybe I won't be able to purchase an AR-15 for sports.
Right. Okay, let's switch over to the economy, because as a young man, we're staring at a massive debt. It's going to be your responsibility to deal with it, because they're not going to fix it in my lifetime. It's too big, and we're pushing this on to the younger generation, to you and to your children, obviously. So, and as far as that looming burden, I mean, do the kids your age, do they feel any of that sense of responsibility? Do they feel that burden coming down on them?
I don't. That's another thing with kids' minds. Very short-sighted. We're going to college, or we're going to go hang out with these friends this weekend. We don't look far into the future, and maybe that's one of my only talents. I can see far in the future, and this massive, almost $17 trillion debt is going to be a huge problem. Whenever someone asks me to explain to them how big the debt is and how big of a problem it is, I tell them that if 1 foot equals $1 billion, then the national debt would be 944 giraffes stacked on top of each other, plus one baby giraffe.
Wow.
Just to somehow give them some type of comic relief and maybe a sense of how much trouble we're in. I don't see this debt going down. Luckily, I do say luckily. I mean, I was a little bent with the sequester, but the cuts brought some of these departments down to still a high level, but to maybe a more of a sustainable level. For example, the Department of Justice had a $27.5 billion budget for this past year, which is the highest that it's ever had, at least in the past, I want to say, 12 years. And it brought it back down to about a $25.6 billion mark, which is still incredibly high, but it's starting to bring it down to maybe a functional basis. And I would also hit on that in order to start fixing this debt, we would probably have to boost the economy in some way to get Americans spending money, which could start with cutting taxes, but it could also start with promoting small businesses. Now, of course, there's a huge talk about that during the presidential election. And right before the presidential election, Barack Obama, he took funding from programs that would help small businesses, and he put it into financial aid programs for college students. I have no problem with financial aid programs for college students, but the problem is that you get them through college, and then you push them into this economy, and there's nowhere for them to get a job. 37% of graduated college students with a four-year degree are either unemployed or working in a job that does not require them to have a four-year degree.
That was my next question to you about, you know, I know that, you know, kids out there that are looking for summer jobs, you know, that are getting ready to go to college to stash away a few bucks for college, or just summer jobs, they're hard to come by. But how's the, I mean, is there some sense of an outlook of understanding of that they are not going to be able to get jobs once they put all this time and energy and money and effort into going to college?
I would say definitely the older kids are seeing it, that it's getting difficult for them to find jobs just in the area and just for over summer that have some weight or some meaning to them. And hopefully by the time they get to college, they'll start to see a little further in the future what they want to do once they graduate college, what it is that their American dream is, what they want to do in life. And hopefully they will be able to see the government restraints on that dream, and that will prevent them from maybe ever obtaining it. And it's sad and it's scary. And you said that my effort was to be commended, but I would say that maybe I'm a little selfish, that I want to make sure that I have a good conservative economy by the time I go out there and try to find a job, so I myself can obtain what I consider the American dream. And I want the same thing for every other kid my age.
Well, Alex, that's just an amazing attitude. You are to be commended. Your parents are to be commended for instilling these kinds of values in you. You know, there are a lot of adults who don't have those values and that outlook, and you're very knowledgeable and very up on the facts and the issues, and that's just fabulous. I hope that we can do everything in our power to help you get your conservative club off the ground and spread the word to your generation, because your generation is going to be tasked with pulling it through. You know, we're doing what we can here, standing on the corners of KNN in St. Charles County and doing Blog Talk Radio and writing blogs. But really, in the end, if we can't motivate the youth, at least to a partial level of what you're trying to do, we're all going to be in big trouble. So I want to thank you very much for what you're doing, and I hope that you'll come back and give us updates often on your progress and keep us updated on where things are going.
Mm-hmm. I will, and thank you for having me.
Oh, great. That's Alex. He's our teenage correspondent here at Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're going to keep him busy and engaged, and we're going to work to try to help him reach out to his generation in our area. So anyway, folks, we are running out of time. Amazingly enough, we got through the 2 hours with all of the circus and the zoo that happened to us this week with Blog Talk Radio. We will be back next week with an interview from Lauren Spivak, the free market warrior, and some more information on the seminar here in St. Charles County at the end of April. We want to thank all the guests that came on with us tonight, and I especially want to thank Cindy for trying to help me keep the ship afloat for the last 2 hours during all the chaos, and we want to have her back next week. Thanks, Cindy, for being with us. Thanks for hanging in for the 2 hours.
You're welcome, except for the part of the time when I wasn't in. it was a fun show. You did a great job, Lisa, really.
Well, thanks.
It was good.
We tried to hold it together. So anyway, she's an expert on preparedness info. We've talked to her a little bit in the past, and hopefully next week we'll have some time to bring in some more tips and techniques for preparedness issues, because I'll tell you, folks, the way things are going, we're going to need some help here. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Robert Snizek and Rachel Payton and Patrick Ishmael, and thank you to Peter Kinder for that update on the Department of Revenue lawsuit. And that's going to wrap it up for us here tonight, folks, on Missouri Grassroots Radio and Culture Vigilante. And Cindy, if you can hit Kate Smith, we'll sign off.
All righty.
God bless America, land of
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.
Hope we're not live. Anyway, are you there? Okay, I'm ending it.